subscribe, man.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the OK Gamers Podcast. I'm here with Dan and Pat.
Hello, everybody. Today I signed up. I'm good. I signed up for a Riot account today, and I've never done that before because I don't know why I would have ever done that for Valorant. And somebody has the name Deanones, and I want to know who that is.
Mine was good. Suck on it.
I didn't use Gargamel.
Yeah, I did Gargamel, and that was taken. But like again, like you know, that's a fucking cool name, so I get it. But like, you know,
yeah.
Like Dan, who the fuck would have done that with three Z's? That doesn't make any sense, you know. And I thought maybe it was me. Like I made one for some reason, but then I checked my email, and it wasn't on my email. Like, it was my email wasn't connected, so I was I don't know. So if you're out there and you're listening,
fuck you,
fuck you. So I did, because I don't, like, I've, like, wrestled with this, like, idea with, like, I want every one of my names to be the same, because I have, like, nine different names on stuff, you know, but then I also, at the same time, don't really care that much to sit there and fucking change everything.
I've started doing that. Most of my things are the same, aside from, like, my accounts on, like, game consoles. What? Because they were, like, years apart when I was doing them and I was younger.
Cave and Bears, you did like a year and a half ago.
No, it's longer than that.
Oh, two to three years ago. It wasn't like when you were
trying to get two.
It wasn't like when
crazy.
You were young.
No. That one was a more recent one. But like my PS4, my PSN ID was from when I first got my PS4, so that was almost 10 years ago.
I have changed my Xbox name once. My PSN has always been the same.
You can't change.
You couldn't change it for forever. And then, like, I couldn't decide what I wanted to use for, like, Steam and all the other accounts now. So I've just been trying to stick with something similar for all of them just to make things easier.
Yeah.
But I did, like, I made my Riot account when the Valorant beta went up. And then it was like, hey, the beta's up, so sign up. And then you have to watch Twitch streams. And I was like, okay, that's not happening. And didn't end up getting a code. And then, you know, it obviously released this week. So I went to just sign in and download it. And I fucking forgot my username. Mm-hmm. So I had to, like, go through that whole process. So
as much as I hate Steam, I think they have the best implementation of, like, a username and, like, an account name. Mm-hmm. So you have an account name, but you can just make your fucking username whenever you want.
Yeah.
Which is also why there's a bunch of toxic nightmare people on it. But
you can still, like... Also, I just realized at the start of this episode I didn't introduce myself, so I'm Brian.
So there's some people out there that are really wondering, like, but who the fuck is talking right
who
now?
Who is this voice? This beautiful
who
voice.
Is that? Yeah, so I'm Duddy, please, on Riot.
Before we really get cracking here, boys, we should discuss the current state of things as it is important.
Yeah.
So I would like to say that the OK Gamers crew stands with the current cause, that Black Lives Matter, and we support anyone with the same notion, obviously. We understand if people can't get out there and protest or make donations, just being mindful of what's going on.
Just make yourself aware. Like, literally any social media outlet anywhere. Like, it's this... hundreds of thousands of posts about what's going on, like, you know.
Yes,
there's different
tons of good resources of how you could be involved. Voting and being engaged in that aspect is going to be the most important thing, you know, long run for this. So certainly just like Pat said, just
keep yourselves informed, just
educate yourself and educate others if possible and where possible.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right, so I mean, Dan and Pat, do you guys really want to talk about Persona for, like, the next 20 minutes again?
We really don't have to, because I think we said a lot of what needs to be said last time.
Can you, Pat, and I know this might be painful, but can you please tell our
listeners
what
elaborate on
what
the nightmare
happened?
That I had to go through? So, me and Daniel are playing Persona 5 Royal, which is an updated version of the game that adds an extra chunk onto the end of the original... Persona 5 story with, like, some new characters and, like, new story elements and stuff like that. So the entire purpose of Persona 5 Royal was basically to play through the base game with this extra stuff at the end that you wouldn't have seen otherwise. Makes sense. So I had initially went into this thinking that, you know, being that, you know, it is extra content that wasn't there initially that, like, they want people to see, that you were just going to kind of get shoehorned into it, and you, like, at the end of the game, and you're just going to get to do it. That assumption was incorrect.
Yeah, very incorrect.
So I put 150 hours into this fucking game. I did not increase my relationship level with the three new characters that they introduce, which I guess I fucked up on that part. You know, there are three new characters. But, like, honestly, in my defense, they're all new characters to me because this is my first time ever playing the fucking game.
That is a good point, yes.
So I didn't, like, think in my head, like, man, I should play, I should go talk to all these people all the time. Otherwise, I'm not going to get to see the cool extra stuff at the end. So I didn't. I, like, talked to them somewhat. Like, one of the characters I talked to a lot. Like, the other two I did kind of left at the wayside. Like, I didn't really fuck with them too much. Played 150 hours of this fucking game. Beat it. Expecting to just kind of just transition right into the new stuff. And then it didn't. So I got the good ending for the base game. We rode off into the sunset. I got credits. I was not happy.
No. Yo, Pat, what's that like to get fucking hoodwinked after 120 hours?
It, like, blew my fucking mind. I texted Dan, like, we were both up, like, playing it, and I had beaten it. And I texted him, and I was like, yo. I was like, so I beat it and didn't get any. He didn't believe me. Like, I want to, like, go back and find the text, because he's like, so what? Like, you didn't, like, you did, just didn't get the good ending for the new stuff? Or, and I was like, no. I didn't get the new stuff. Like, I just didn't get any of that. So, yeah, I don't know.
If you played Persona 5, like, vanilla, and then this, then it probably would even be more funny, because, like, the fact that, like, that's the only reason you probably played it. So at least you still got a really good game out of it, but, that's still horrible and annoying.
So,
the game does not tell you that at all. The only reason I looked it up. Like, I looked up how to get the best ending.
And here's my other thing, too, is that, like, I had, at some point, because I have, like, me and Dan have been talking about this, like, pretty much since we started. Like, I can't remember the last time I played a game where I had, like, 6 to 7 tabs open on my phone or my computer, just, like, with
stuff. Yeah.
So, at some point in, like, my search for things, I saw a guide on how to get the good ending, or the true ending of the game. But I guess I just kind of glossed over it, and it was how to get the good ending for the base game.
Which really wasn't anything special, just don't.
Which really wasn't anything special.
Answer the obvious questions of the obvious way.
Yeah, and it was just say no to these two things, and then you're good.
Yeah.
And at no point in the game does it ever tell you, like, hey, you really should, like, push for a relationship with these three people to, you know, whatever. Like, even if it, like, the game is constantly giving you, like, little tutorial tips on things all the fucking time.
Yeah.
So, like, them just throwing that in there, like, hey, these people are new. Maybe push a relationship with them. Like,
yeah, you think they would have highlighted it a little bit better, but
yeah, they literally, like, they introduce them all, like, pretty, like, you know, organically. It's not like they just, like, shoehorn them in there. Yeah, like, it's very organic.
They also don't make them seem like they're new. Like, if you've never played before and you had no idea. Like, you know what?
Yeah, like,
a funny thing, like, just because, like, I feel like this is a game where, like you need to have just things open. Like if someone, if like, I'm sure some people don't like to do that. I like to play a game completely blind, and that's fine. I think I would not, like, I know, like, I'm the guide, but, like, if like, I wouldn't, this is not the type of game that
the guide guy.
I would, not the type of game that I would want to play completely blind. And I think it's funny because the fortune teller, Chiaya, whatever her name is, one of her last abilities before the fusion alarm one is it highlights the good answers. No, it highlights the abilities you get from the confidant ranks. And then in my head, I'm like, you know, you just look that up. Like, is there, like, you know, and then I was like, oh, there probably is people out there who really don't know. And that's crazy to me that, like, there's people out there that have no idea what you get by ranking whoever to 10. And, like, that's not.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't personally, like, I didn't go that hard into it. Like, the most I did was, like, I looked up like fusion, like, formulas for, like, certain personas, and I looked up, like,
so you had no idea what the confidant, like, ranks did at all?
No.
Well, I mean, I bet you wish you did now, because then you would have realized that fortune teller, like, was so helpful.
Yeah, like I think I talked to her one time just to get, like, to unlock her as a confidant.
She's like the recommended, like, first like thing you should, like, at least get to level whatever. Because she gives, like, and the same thing with the teacher, because she lets you slack off in her class, that gives you a lot of extra time. But yeah, they're like recommended to do like really early on because they're so helpful.
But and then I'm, for whatever reason, I don't know. The last two games I've played, this and Final Fantasy VII Remake, are the only two games in probably years that I have played that I just have not gotten fucking bored of, like, at all. Like, I literally went from my initial playthrough of Final Fantasy VII Remake right into my hard playthrough, like, immediately, and was perfectly fine the entire time. And even more so with this fucking game, for some reason, I am not bored at all.
Yeah.
And I'm almost this point now, like, I started a new game plus because I'm fucking determined to see the cool, the extra DLC stuff at the end.
Yeah.
So, I'm already like 15 to 20 hours into my new game plus. And like, I'm not like at all like bored with it at all. Yeah. I told you, like, when I had beaten, I was like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I just want to play. I just like, I want more. Like, yeah. I don't want, like, I just don't want to stop. Like,
no, weird. I agree. I share that sentiment exactly. I'm at, like you said, like, I'm in the DLC now. I'm a little ways in with about, like, I think I'm like 148 hours right now. So I'm assuming like another 15 to 20 to beat the DLC. And like, all I'm thinking about is the new game plus. I started watching the anime last night, which is literally just the game. But like, I just want more Persona 5.
I'm probably gonna start that at some point.
Yeah.
Too.
It's like that's what I was saying. We were saying to Brian before. Like, it's like the quality of the game is like is like remarkable. Like, it really does not dip in quality. Some parts can be drawn out a little bit. I'm not gonna act like every moment is a fucking slam dunk. But like, it's very rare when, like, you know, we come across a game that like is this enthralling. Like, this is all I want to do. It's all I want to think about. Like, and I don't want it to end. Usually, like, even the games that I played for like a ton of time, like, you know, I talk about like Ni No Kuni or Dragon Quest XI or Xenoblade 2. Like, those games I loved, but like by the 100 hour mark, I was like, okay,
I was like, all right,
I'm ready for this to be done. Like, this 150 hours, and I'm like, you know, I'm like, give me another 100.
Yeah, like, I like good to go. I like fully. I was fully not ready for it to end. Granted, my time with it got cut short, but still, like, I was not. I was not ready for it to end at all. Like, I was kind of like...
You're going to fix that, though.
Yeah, yeah, because I'm a fucking monster.
I'll have more to say next week, because I hope I will beat it by then. I play for like 8 hours a fucking day, so I think I will.
Yeah, dude. So. Well, that's the problem, though, too, with this game, is that you can play this game for 8 hours and still only do, like...
Like, oh, two weeks of time in the game?
Maybe,
like,
a palace?
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, like, it's one of those things where I'm interested in it. I'd love to invest the time, but like, I just know that like there's things in the pipeline, and there's
you would
just
need
too, I wouldn't start now with
you would need a period of time. You would need a period of time like I had between Final Fantasy VII and what is the next big one coming out?
Last of Us 2. June 19th.
So that's 2 months,
and not have a job,
and yeah, and be. You know, I mean, like, in a situation like, where you're not really working.
Like, this lull for me, like, I've, you know, Valorant just came out, so we'll talk about that. You know, I started my replay of The Last of Us. I was playing a lot of Warzone, which I didn't really play when that first launched. Like, I was filling in this void of time with other stuff that I really didn't get to put as much time into, you know, obviously, except for a replay of The Last of Us, because I don't necessarily need to do that, but I want to do it. But still, like, I just can't imagine myself playing that game at any point in the near future, and that's like a bummer, because you guys talk about it in a way in which it makes like it sounds like I should be playing it, you know, like,
yeah, so. I mean, and we talked about this a little bit last week, and it's like I've never played a game that like just makes you play it at its pace throughout the entire thing, like, yeah. you get some like a little bit of leeway with some things, but it's so set in its pace throughout from start to fucking finish. Like, it never lets up. And I think that's, like, I think Dan said it, but that's, like, a huge testament to how strong it is, like, throughout. Like, I can't imagine playing a game that was, you know, not so solid, making me, like, fucking steps, like, from start
Being
to finish.
Being so deliberate about a decision.
for the player, specifically.
Yeah, the entire game is segmented. I mean, it's literally, like, sections of every day, like, and you play through every calendar day, every single day. So, like...
There are times where it skips, like, it'll skip days.
Yeah, or like, you do one thing for the whole day, yes. But basically, you're living out literally an entire year of time. And, like... Yeah. there's no way to fast forward that. Like, you could skip through dialogue, but like, you can't be like, all right, I don't really want to do this. Like, let's just move on. Can't do it. You have to literally see everything the game wants to show you. But like, you want to see everything the game wants to show you. Like, you don't want to miss anything. You relish the time that you have. Like, I loved summer. I didn't want fucking summer to end. Like, I was like, what the fuck wrong with
going,
me?
Going to like, Hawaii, like,
yeah,
hanging out.
Like, going to the beach. Man. And then, like, when the characters started wearing, like, not their summer clothes, I'm like, oh, summer's over. I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with me? Like, who fucking cares? But in my head, I'm like, oh, no, they got to go back to school now. They're not on summer vacation. I'm like, why is this bothering me? Like, why am I actually a little upset about the fact that these kids are going back to fucking school? Like, I'm playing a fucking video game. Like,
that's a testament to how strong it is. Like, when they had, like, I think when Golden Week comes up and they have like that week off, I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah,
they
right. Oh, finally, I get some time. Like, you're excited for the time.
I'm at school.
Yeah, or like when there's exams, you're like, can we just get through these fucking exams so I can hang out with my friends again? Like, you know, and you're like, why is this game making me feel this way, man? Like, or like you have a free day and like a couple confidants you really want to spend time with, and you're legit conflicted. Not even in a game perspective, but a legit like, well, I mean, I could go hang out with Ryuji, but then what's Yusuke gonna do all day? He won't see me, but then I also really like, you know, Makoto, and I want her to know that I care about her, and I don't got the time today, you know, like, it's wonderful. It really is.
We have to start with the video on these podcasts, because I'm smiling the entire time, and you, both of you are, like, it's just, like,
so passionate.
It's a
really great game, Brian. Like, it really
is. It's incredible, actually. Yeah,
I'm super bummed that this, like, I didn't, like, clip this. Like, that was really fun.
It also helps that me and Pat are I'm really glad me and Pat are doing this at the same time. Because if I was just by myself and, like, every day I'm like, guys, guess what fucking happened? Like, you got to be like, no one fucking cares,
Crossing,
Dan.
Though.
You know, like.
That was 100% you with Animal Crossing. And, like, I just didn't get there quick enough and that fell on the wayside. But, like,
well,
you were jumping on there every week.
And,
but, like, oh, yeah, you had people, certainly. Yeah. But, you know, I feel like it hits a little different when
you... Oh, yeah, if you guys were all with Animal Crossing with me, it would have been a much more pleasant experience. But, you know, I still chucked 80 hours into that shit, too. But
yeah, I mean, like, just the relationships with all of your confidants and, like, even, like, more insignificant ones that, like, you wouldn't have thought that, like... Mm-hmm. You would have appreciated as much as, like, you know, your close, like, your tight-knit group, like, are still, like, really good. Like, even, like Mishima, like, when you, like, get hit, like, he has, like, a decent character arc, like, as you go through his confidant level. So, I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Like, it's not bad. Like,
everybody does. Like, at first, like, Haifumi, I didn't care. But then towards the end, I was like, okay, she's actually a pretty cool character. You actually know she was supposed to be one of your teammates, but they thought that she'd be too similar to Makoto, so they took her out. I didn't know that. I thought that was interesting.
But yeah, like, even like Futaba has like one of the best like story arcs.
She's probably the most interesting character
in a long time, like in anything that I've played in a while. Like,
I really like how her palace is different, and like I don't want to spoil anything, I guess, but like her palace is just not the typical palace. And then I really liked how the sixth palace you do. Is also the casino palace is also not like a typical palace. Like it's
no,
you know,
it's cool. I like it when they like change
the
stuff.
And then
the
new DLC, again, not to spoil anything, but it's the same kind of a concept. You're not just doing a regular palace. There's a big, even a bigger reason why you're doing it. That isn't the normal, like, this is a shitty person. We have to change. It's actually crazy. Mm-hmm. Like why you're actually there, which is a really cool change. But I guess any final thoughts? Cause I feel like we talk about this too much.
I love it.
Yeah,
it was only like 15 minutes. So you guys are fine.
Well, when we finally finish it, when I finish the DLC and then Pat finishes the DLC, we'll have probably more to say as a whole. But like, unless something about the DLC sucks, this is a wonderful, wonderful game.
I will say, as disappointed as I was with the fact that I got cut short, I did like the base game. If I had played this game the year it came out, probably would have been my game of the year.
Yeah, probably. Or it would have been right there with Zelda, because that's what it came out. But no, I agree.
Woof. That was, that year?
It was 2017. I was talking to Matt Finelli about it, because he wants to check it out, but he played Vanilla, and I was like, you'll really like this. Like, the changes are pretty cool. And he's like, yeah, I want to check it out. And I adore this game, I texted him, I was like, yo, this is, like, it's pretty, this is, like, my game of the year. Like, I, like, definitely one of the best RPGs I've ever played. If not the best, you know, and he was like, yeah, that was like by far my game of the year, the year that came out, like, you know, with Zelda and everything out that year. And I was like, oh, shit, okay, you know, so.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
If you ever find time, Brian.
You know what's funny is this was, I don't know when the fuck this was. It was before COVID really hit because GameStops were still open. Uh-huh. And I went, I forget what game I went. Maybe it was when I went to go pick up Neo 2 because I had GameStop credit. Mm. And I asked the clerk and I said, oh, is Persona 5 Royal out? Because I had an extra like $20 on the card. I was like, I'll just throw it towards that. And he was like, oh, it's out in a couple weeks. He's like, but you could pre-order here. And it was like, I was at a GameStop I don't usually frequent. So I was like, nah, it's all right. But thank you anyway. So at that point in time, I had good intention. And would have picked it up, but it just didn't happen. The stars didn't align, so I'm sorry, fellas. Yeah, like,
I also, when I decided to play it, I also could not find it physical anywhere, so I had to do digital on PSN.
Yeah, I had to pre-order for a little bit, but I got lucky and I found it. You know, as I said, if you want to borrow my copy, Brian, and you can just sit for years, that's fine.
Okay.
Because it's the steel book, and I wouldn't want to return that anyway. So you know, I'll probably do it. I will probably do a new game plus run. Will I play all the way through? Probably not. I also want to check out a lot of the challenge bosses path because I haven't, like, you know.
I stumbled into one earlier. You can do it, only unlocks the new game plus, but you can fight the twins.
I didn't like look into it, but I saw that you could do that.
I looked up their stats because they fucking annihilated me right away because I'm literally like level 15 right now in my new game plus, and they're not level 99 with 8,000 health. And like all of their shit is like maxed out. I was like,
well, that makes sense. Then. Yeah, okay. I think that's like end game shit. You know,
yeah, it was like I can't do this right now.
At the same time, I almost like I'm worried about like playing over again because like I fell down the rabbit hole of like min maxing personas and like how you could do that and like that's like just a lot of tedious time to do that and get like the perfect skills and the perfect stats.
Well, I mean, if those are registered in your registry, then
well, to get to that point, I'm right saying it takes a while. Like I don't have any yet that are perfect, but like you can make perfect personas, you know, and it's just like, you know, a big rabbit hole that I want to jump into, but I don't know if I want to jump into after just jumping into this very large rabbit hole.
I fell into a different persona hole.
I'll fall into your persona hole.
But. All right, yeah, I mean, we can wrap it up there. Like, yeah. It's a fucking incredible game. Like, if you have any interest in JRPGs at all, this is probably the best one I've ever played.
Yeah, it makes me like, kind of upset that, like, I didn't play it for 3 years, and I had it, like, on my shelf.
Yeah, literally, I have
it. One of the game that I absolutely adore, and I think it will always be, like, a game I think really fondly of, and, like, it sat there, and I didn't play it. Mm-hmm. Like, I would put, I can't think of a game, like, I mean, I guess there's certain games, but, like, there's not that many games in the past 3 years that I would put over this. Like, well, I would rather have played this than that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the fact that I didn't play it is, like, what, you know, but again, how do you really know? But
I remember buying it, putting it in my disc tray, started it up, I think got to the castle at the beginning, and then was like, this is a lot, and then stopped playing.
I think it was like the second time you go into the castle with Ryuji, and I was like, all right, but okay, I'm going to do something else. I never intended to go back and play it. I don't know why I didn't, you know, but whatever. That is really all I've played, so I know you guys have played a couple other things if you want to talk about it. Or at least, Brian, yes. You guys played Valorant, I know.
So, yeah, yes. I mean, we fuck with Valorant. Well, that was 2 nights ago, right?
Yes, that is correct. Valorant came out on Tuesday of this week, so today is June 5th. It was in beta for, I don't know, 2 months probably. You know, it kind of was very popular on Twitch. A lot of people liked it. Finally got its 1.0 release. I'm still weirded out about how they handled the beta and codes were given out to Twitch people. And I get it. It was great marketing, you know. It's that aspect of it that worked for them because, you know, Riot was able to release some statistics saying that they had like 3 million like players like per day, not concurrent, maybe concurrent, but either way, a good number, you know, solid. That puts them up there with like some of the more popular first person shooters right now. For those that don't know, Valorant is like a hero first person shooter. So it's like very much in the vein of Overwatch. But plays like super similar to Counter-Strike. I guess it's like the best way to describe it.
Pretty much exactly like Counter-Strike, but they added like Overwatch-esque abilities to it, which surprisingly enough works well. Like nothing, I at no point when we were playing did I encounter anything that felt like it was overpowered.
Some of the abilities to me, and
some
I
of
only
them
played
are like a little much, and I was just like, oh god, like,
yeah. But, Yeah, there's a couple characters that I think that people will be able to find ways to, like, exploit and, you know, utilize. They'll utilize them more frequently. You know, I not to say that some of the abilities seem out of place, but just not as useful or as, like, well thought out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas, like, in Overwatch, it almost seems like every character is, like, super deliberate and, like...
Yeah, well, every character in Overwatch has, like, you know, a counter.
A true counter, essentially.
For the most part.
Yeah, whereas this, like, not really too sure if it was that. You know, they probably tried to, but I mean, it doesn't really. Maybe I, you know, as I get more into it, I'll be able to talk more on that. But
the pace of that game, I don't think would allot for having like true counters to specific heroes like an Overwatch mm-hmm. would, because it's so slow. Like the whole game, like there's no sprint. Your sprint key makes you walk.
Like, yeah, you're quiet.
Like, yeah, like that's.
To be honest though, and like I've never like I played Counter-Strike back on Xbox. Like I never played PC. Counter-Strike wasn't into like that. Never was my thing. I have no legs to stand on when it comes to talking about that. You know, so my experience with that type of gameplay is with Counter-Strike back on console, which is so different. Mm-hmm. But for someone that plays, like I've been playing a ton of Warzone the past few weeks. Like something that is this like slow and like it's super precise on the aim. It just plays so different. It's really refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
And then adding like, you know, interesting character abilities is just like a nice layer to it. So
it's like when we jump into Siege after like 6 months of not playing it. It's like, oh, yeah, all right, cool.
This guy does this. Ooh, yeah. Fine. This motherfucker runs through walls. Fucking great. Like,
yeah.
So, you know, if there's anything, you know, for those that don't know, it is free to play. The microtransactions don't seem too bad in terms of, like, in-your-face bullshit. It's just very cosmetic-type stuff. Some of them seem really cool in terms of the...
Yeah, a lot of the
weapon skins and whatnot.
Yeah, from what I've seen, I think there's only weapon skins right now. And they're all pretty cool. I haven't seen anything that was, like, ew.
I'm sure there might be one tucked away in there that's ew, maybe. But from what I saw too, they are pretty cool. So at some point, I'm sure I'll throw some money at this just to A, support the game, and B, because
I accidentally threw money at it.
Oh, did you? How did that happen?
Because I thought like the premium thing, like the you know how like the there's like the one pass you can level up to like get like a free agent thing.
Yes.
And then there was that other one next to it that mm-hmm. like actually gives you like it's like more like a traditional battle pass. It says like premium and it said locked, so I thought I had to buy it. So like, you know what? I'll probably play this a bunch. I'll pay whatever for the fucking battle pass. It was just for one level on that.
How much was it?
It's like $10.
Aw. That's kind of a bummer.
It might have been less than that.
Alright, okay.
I was like, oops. And then like I was like, oh, fucking god damn it.
What did I do?
So, yeah.
I think it's cool. I you know, definitely I wouldn't say it's perfect. You know, I don't think it's gonna take over esports and be the next fucking Fortnite. But I do think that it is a, you know, has the chance to be a good competitive shooter. We'll probably hang around for a bit in terms of the, you know, being in the conversation of like your Apex and your Fortnites and PUBGs, the ones that like if you look at the charts and even Siege in terms of like, you know, multiplayer shooters, concurrent players and whatnot. I think it'll hang around for a bit. It definitely has some legs there. So,
yeah. Yeah, it was we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, once we're done, I'm definitely going to jump into it more tonight, and I'm looking forward to it. So,
do you want
to
tell them what you did, Brian?
When we were playing? Oh, yeah, so this was good. So,
Let me just real quick context. Yeah, the games are very long.
Yo,
it's
too long.
First, it's two teams, obviously. First to round 13 won.
That sounds so like a ranked game of Counter-Strike.
That's pretty much what it is. Forever. It's pretty much what it is.
It's the game mode is called Spiked or Spikes or whatever the fuck it is. So it's pretty much just like you plant the bomb and it's like, you know, attack and defend. And the classic mode is like it has the buy page similar to Counter-Strike. You know, first round everybody starts with pistols and then you get more your money. If you do better, you have more, whatever. You pick your loadout, you get armor, you could even buy abilities. Like each class has like an ultimate that you build up for and then one like passive that you could use. And then there's two special abilities that you actually have to get on the buy page. Which is pretty unique, so it's different.
Yeah, it took me a little while to figure that out. I played like almost an entire game without my two of my abilities. I was like, "What the fuck?" And then I pulled the buy page up, and I was like, "Oh,
they just tucked away in there."
Yeah.
So, the that first game mode where you're buying your loadouts is, like Pat said, it's 13 rounds, can be very long.
First to fucking, 13.
Unless you're steamrolling the other team. The other game type is a more fast-paced. It's first team to four, but the loadouts are pre...
Yeah, they give you like random loadouts or something. Yeah,
yeah, they're random and predetermined. So haven't played that game mode yet. Probably check that out tonight. But me and Pat, we're trying to sync up and play. Added him to my friends list. Thought he was in my party. Started a game. Pat's like, no, you dumbass. Like, you just added me to your friends list. So I'm like... I guess I forgot how to play video games for a second.
Well,
like, my bad.
This was his response. He was like, this was, because I was like, dude, he's like, all right, let's start this shit up. And I was like, Brian, we're not in a party. And he's like, we better be in a fucking party. And I was like, you only added me as a friend. And he was like, oh, shit. And like, for whatever, it fully locked him in. Like, he was like.
Yep. I quit the game twice and then also logged out of my Riot account every time I got a warning saying that don't leave matches. Like, it affects you and players around you. And then every time I booted that shit back up, put me right back in the fucking game. It, like, honestly, it's impressive.
It was pretty impressive.
Like
oh, no, you gotta fucking finish this game, dude. Yeah.
Yo, it was like, first time, I was like, all right, Pat, I just quit out. And he was like, okay. So I launched the game back up.
Nah.
In the game. And he's like, that's weird. And I was like, dude. I closed it out. He was like, yeah, that's weird. Try again. So I was like, you know what? All right, fine. Did it again. Same fucking thing. And then the third time, I even, like, stepped further. I was like, I'm logging out of my Riot account. Like, I opened the client, logged out. I was like, this has to do it. Has to do it. Nope. Put me right back in. Fucking start of round three. My team's like, what are you doing? I'm like, fuck.
Right? Like, it's like that Old Spice commercial. It's like, okay, look away. Look back. It's me again. Like,
that's 100%. Well, I'm like that.
So what did you do? You just played... Like, the game you played
yeah so
game.
I like I, had to. I was like Brian, I'm starting my own game, and we just played separately for a match,
and then I finished my game because the opposing team would just fucking ran us over
because they didn't have the fifth person for
there by the third round. But then Pat was in like a super competitive, like,
yeah, we were
final
like the
score
game
was
of
like
our lives. It was like 13-12 by the end of it.
I was literally chilling for 25 minutes like, Pat, come on.
That's really,
like,
that's funny. I'm excited to try it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super impressive net code that it just put me right back into. Like,
this was like, nope, here you go.
They figured that shit out, man. I guess with League of Legends, they're like, it's a toxic community. They're like, you think you can quit? No. Like,
it's true. Yeah. Cool.
So I've also been my replay of The Last of Us is going strong. Like, really playing it slow, and I'm like taking my time, like finding every. I'm not like following a guide and like getting all like the. Like, you know, like collectibles and shit like that. But I am trying to just take it in as much as I can because I fucking adore that game. And it just, you know, I think we said it last week or whenever we talked about it. I think Andrew might have spoke to it. But, like, it runs so well on PS4 and you can lock it at 60 frames. And at first it's, like, really jarring because, like, the Joel is just, like, such a chunky dude and, like, plays real heavy. And, like, the aiming is just, like, it took me forever. Like, the first encounter I had where I actually had, like, the handgun with, like, 11 rounds, I fucking missed, like, 7 shots. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is a nightmare. Like, what am I doing?
I never got a hang of aiming in that game.
Yeah, I don't think,
like,
I did either.
So, to that point, the abilities, like, the upgrade abilities, you get, like, the pills or whatever. Mm-hmm. The first one, I'm immediately putting my points into weapon sway. And that first upgrade, you can immediately tell the difference with the handguns. And it, like, I'm, like, remembering now, like, how meaningful that the upgrade tree is. And it just, like, how good that system was. So I'm, like, super curious how they're going to build upon that in The Last of Us 2. So, obviously, we'll talk about that more when The Last of Us 2 is out. But, you know, it's, I know you guys have your own opinion on The Last of Us. But for me, I hold that as, like, gold standard type video game shit. So... it's replaying it is great, and I'm enjoying it thoroughly. So, also the opening of that game still fucking rips your goddamn heart out.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, and like even just like the and this is just like the Naughty Dog touch to everything. Like, they like reading through all like the collectibles and stuff, and like the notes you find about, like, you know you find like notes through areas that like conjoin about certain people like trying to escape towns and shit. And it's just, like, it's so well thought out. and like replaying it, I'm like, just gets me so excited to like, you know, go back, like to see more of that universe, you know, because we got fucking 5 games in the Uncharted universe, you know, Uncharted 1 through 4 and was a Lost Legacy. I mean, even 6, because the what's the Vita one? Golden Abyss or something, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, you got 6 games in that universe. Last of Us 2, this is the second one in this universe. And like, it just, I'm like dying. I need it. Like, I'm, you know, like, cannot wait. So
second game, and it's technically what? 8 years?
2013.
It's a long time.
7 years? Since the fucking first one came out? It's a lot.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, I mean, you said it last week, Dan. The last time you played it originally on PS3. Same. Haven't played it since. Yeah. So.
Same.
Crazy.
Same Z's.
Yeah. So that's all I have been playing. We could move on to some news. I think the big one for this week is that Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning, the remaster leaks online. The studio in quotes said "Oopsie Daisy," which I think is funny.
Whoa. That's PC. It's coming to PC.
And I also think Game Pass. So,
cool. I would love to replay Kingdoms of Amalur. You guys play?
Never played it. I did not.
I never did.
All I heard was that it was great.
It was like surprisingly a good game. Like it's like I know that's what everyone said. Like it's like I'm not gonna. It wasn't like the best game I ever played, but like it's surprisingly deep. The lore was really good. The combat was really fun. Like the story was good. Like it just was a really it looked very generic and like not
like, it was like a solid fantasy.
Yes,
like
it was a very solid game, and you wouldn't think it would be solid, but it was. It's pretty long. I remember playing it for like a solid like 40 to 50 hours. Like it's a pretty long game.
I don't know if it's coming. So let me just to backtrack a little bit. So it leaked for a listing, and then they announced it via Twitter. It was on the Microsoft store that the leak initially appeared on, and then they confirmed it. So the product page says that the remaster will offer improved visuals and refined gameplay. Initially offered a release date of August 11th, but then it was adjusted to the 18th. Just thought that would be some information about it. So apparently you could pre-order it for PS4. There's the Windows PC version. Not too sure if it's going to come to Game Pass. So I don't see that here in the article. So don't quote me on that.
It'll look real good on PC. It'll be a fun game to play on PC. I think if you haven't played it, I think it's definitely worth it to check it out. I don't know if this is going to be anything's going to be added to it. They haven't said that yet, but
They did. They did say that. The store page said that it's going to have, in terms of like
new stuff.
I'm sorry. So if that's what you were referring to, then my apologies. They just meant gameplay, refined gameplay, and improved visuals.
Oh, okay. So. Well, yeah. What you expect in a remaster? Yeah. Yeah, I would. Agreed. Yeah, I mean, I would imagine it's going to be nothing more than what, like $30, probably. So, you know,
hopefully,
yeah, I would replay it for that for sure.
I remember playing the demo,
$40 for the.
All right, still worth it.
Back when Xbox used to do I guess technically they still do, but I used to regularly play demos for the 360 just to see if I liked stuff. I remember playing that and thinking it was cool, and then just never buying it for some reason.
It took me a while to play it. It was one of those games where I always wanted to play. I probably did what you did. I played a little bit of it, and then I remember I had a really long streak of just getting through backlog games, and that was one of them. And I was like, this is really great. I don't know why I didn't play this when it first came out.
The this game, in terms of its development and it being released, has a super interesting story.
Yeah, I remember that being
the thing. Originally released in 2012. It has Todd McFarlane was involved, designers from Elder Scrolls 4's Oblivion. So it has had a good staff in terms of people that were involved on it. 38 Studios was founded by Kurt Schilling. For those that don't know, he's a former pitcher for the Boston Red Sox. He obviously pitched for other teams, but so they were originally set up shop in Massachusetts. The company ultimately, there was just they had a huge shortfall. Right after the game launched, they filed for bankruptcy. There was a huge investigation that went on for years and years about the financials and people being unpaid and just an absolute fucking mess. You can find out more information about it online. It's a crazy story. The property for the game was purchased by THQ Nordic in 2018, actually at an auction of some sort. So this game has gone through some shit. So to see a remaster or a remake of it is it's cool.
This game very easily could have just fallen into like some abyss somewhere that we never would have seen it ever again.
Yeah, but for sure.
The fact that it's resurfacing is cool.
Yep. So moving on from that, Sony is being fined $2.4 million by an Australian court for misleading PlayStation players about game refunds.
Wow.
So that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So according to the court's ruling, Sony Europe made four players in Australia think that they only had 14 days to return a digital game, and even that they could get a refund if it was authorized by the game's developer who made it. The fifth person, meanwhile, apparently told by Sony Europe that their refund had to be in currency on the PlayStation Store, then they get their money back outright. Some quotes here, it says, consumer guarantee rights do not expire after a digital project has been downloaded, and certainly do not disappear after 14 days or any arbitrary date claimed. Obviously, just paraphrasing this a bunch, trying to see exactly how this whole court hearing came about. So the Australia's federal court is announcing that it is ordering Sony to pay $3.5 million in fines. So it's approximately, it's a little different with U.S. money because you know how Australia is. So between October 2017 and May 2019, Sony Europe's terms of services implied that users did not have the right in terms of like digital games and returns and stuff in which they did. So super misleading verbiage in, I guess, their terms of service, and people like plucked that out of there and got it taken to court. So that's
they're
crazy.
Their stance on digital returns has always been super weird. So
apparently, back in 2016, Valve was hit with a similar set of fines by Australia's federal court for misleading Steam users. So
their stance on returns is also very weird. So
yeah, definitely. It's like you have to like go through an approval process and shit.
Yeah, but you also can only have under like 2 hours played or some shit like that. Like it's a lot.
Yeah, but definitely you don't see that very often, where like a country's federal court sues a video game company.
Yeah, I don't know. If it sets some kind of a standard, then great. But I don't know. Obviously, we're not going to know if anything like comes of this until like everything is said and done.
That's a good point, because this could just get settled for a very small amount of money.
Yeah,
that no one will ever see. So, okay, moving on. So, Destiny 2 Year 4 reveal officially coming June 9th. So, hope everybody's excited for that.
Yeah.
Woot woot.
The little teaser has the Drifter wearing like a little gas mask, so
you know there's gas somewhere in there.
And he lights a coin on fire or something.
Oh shit, there's coins too in the game.
Yeah, the teaser itself, 15 seconds long, shows the Drifter. He obviously is the guardian who controls the Gambit mode. For those who don't know, he's in a shuttle. He's flying towards an icy moon of a larger planet. Based on the color and size, I think it's the moon of Jupiter. So this seems to unofficially confirm that the next expansion will take place players to Europa, a long rumored location in the Destiny universe. So for me personally, someone that loves Destiny and fell off super hard because the last two seasons just really didn't interest me, to hear that there will be a new space to explore is exactly what I need to hear.
Yeah.
Bang, 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 bang.
Yes.
As good as the continual flow of like new stuff is, I feel like the frequency of it dulls the quality of it, and like just you start losing people's interest.
Yeah, but it's also if the thing is lackluster and they keep giving you more stuff to add to the lackluster thing, doesn't make the lackluster thing better. It just adds more lackluster stuff.
That's what I mean. Like literally the last two seasons that hit were both just kind of whatever. Yeah. So, like, we didn't touch it. But, like, I feel like if they were to do this, I feel like an every 6 months model would be perfect. Give them a decent amount of time to, like, work on some new shit.
If every, 6 months like, it was something real like, substantial, yes.
Then yeah, that's what I mean. Like, something like this. Like, every 6 months, something like this, a new zone to explore, a new whatever, like, new dungeons, new raids or whatever. Like, every 6 months, that would be great.
For some context, the new season... so I'm forgetting what it's called, but for anyone that played Destiny, Rasputin is like a big weapon that Guardians have used and so on and so forth. So The Almighty is a big ship used by the Red Legion. That was from like the base campaign. So that players like they're starting to do some like in-game type teasing for the following, like for what's to come, which is really cool. And they haven't really done a lot of that before. So back by 2 weeks ago, players started to see like the shape of what looked like the ship, like in the sky, if you were in the social space in the tower. And then like as updates started to creep out, like the ship started to appear closer and closer. So with one of the like teasers for like the next season, the Bungie account like tweeted out that like Rasputin, which is the weapon, is at full power, and they're teasing that like it's gonna maybe take a shot at the Almighty ship. So a lot of like streamers and even the Bungie account said like be on the game at this time if like you want to see what's up. So people think that it'll be like an in-game event similar to like a Fortnite or something, where something will take place and then it'll change a social space or, you know, an area of the map, and you'll be able to go and check it out. And then, you know, they'll release more information about like the updates and whatnot. So, it's just cool to see that they are, taking player feedback, working with that, you know, and updating accordingly and putting new things, you know, in terms of like the way they go about like, you know, the what's to come essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. I, doing an in-game event like this, I think, is a super smart move, because like their entire model, like they were like probably the first game really to establish like games as a service, and like aside from just giving you like kind of just okay content or really great stuff, like that's the farthest they've gone with it. So, you know, adding like cool in-game events like this, where like, you know, you actually want people to like be in a place, like kind of like Fortnite, like everybody be at the tower at this time and watch this shit happen. Like that stuff is super cool, and the fact that they haven't done that yet is weird to me. Especially with some of like the more significant shit that like goes on in like the Destiny lore and like universe. I mean, like this ship getting blown out of the sky is cool, and I want to go see it.
I don't think Destiny's gonna be doing fucking Travis Scott concert in game. No. But, no. You know, this is a nice little step towards some cool content. So back to, like, the big update that is being teased. So like we said, the Drifter small shuttle headed towards, like, a new a long-rumored location, you know, would be really cool if it's, like, a full-fleshed-out, like, another planet to explore and a social space and so on and so forth. And then so they followed up that, the Guardian teaser, with another, like, quick clip, about 15 seconds long. It's actually Eris. So what makes it interesting is that both Eris and the Drifter, they know the most about, like, the unknown enemy that has been long teased in Destiny,
the triangles.
Yes, the triangles, which it's, like, every major update, like, slowly gives us more information about,
it's the darkness.
The fuck is their name? Is it really just the darkness?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they have a name. I really don't.
I don't think they like it. If they do have a name, they haven't said it yet.
Yeah.
They've always been referred to as the darkness.
Yeah, literally, yeah. Eris and the Drifter are the two Destiny primary experts on the darkness enemies. It's like, God damn it, guys. So, yeah. In the clip, Eris is like kind of trudging through some snow in a new social space and makes some comment and has like some new ability, like emitting like a power, almost like, you know, glowing from her hand. And, you know, obviously a bunch of people are speculating that there's finally going to be more information about not only just a new social space, but maybe a new enemy type. So it's really unclear what they're teasing. Obviously a lot of speculation, but we get to find out soon. So
I want to be a guardian of the darkness.
It would be crazy if they like divided everything, like did.
1,000,000% I would join the darkness. 1,000,000%
They like tried to do that with the Drifter thing, like pick a side, and it was just
but it didn't.
But did
do
it matter? At
no,
all?
It didn't matter at all. And like, it was, you just got like some different lines of dialogue, and everyone was like, "All
right, yeah, right,
cool." So,
I want to do crazy like new darkness supers to people. That's what I want to do. I don't even know what they would be.
Just give me a normal
black
super, just a different color. Like, sure, I'll even take that. Like. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, like, part of me is a little hard-pressed, like, for, you know, like, I feel like if whatever they announce, it's either, like, I'm going to be super fucking into it, or I'm just going to be like, eh. You know? It could either really hit the mark or just be a total whiff, so.
If the new enemy type is the darkness in this DLC, I'm going to be so fucking mad. I'm going to be so mad.
So, I think it was either GLaAD or maybe Goth, because those are like, they're pretty big Destiny streamers, and they seem to be like in the know with this shit. They tweeted out something this past week about how like they think this next big expansion, you know, was probably stuff that they might have wanted to slate in for like Destiny 3. But being that they weren't on, like, what were they owned by, Activision previously?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, so that being from that split that they, like, you know, are able to just kind of continue to support Destiny 2 until they kind of restructure and figure out, like, what the big future plans are. It was just, like, a really interesting dialogue, like, he, you know, created just from this tweet saying, like, you know, hey, if they do use the darkness here instead of, like, saving that for, like, the next game, like, they could just build on this slowly from here. And then, you know, decide to, you know, ultimately maybe make a bigger change or what have you. But, you know, it's these, like, big content updates. Like, they've already done two for this game. You know, it's you know, they've had, you know, other smaller expansions. But, like, the ones that have, like, really changed things, like Forsaken. And what was the other one that was, like, pretty big?
Fuck. The one with the hive.
Shadowkeep?
Yes. No,
yeah, right? Yeah. So those are two pretty major expansions that added a lot of content. So a third one, I mean, they didn't, you know, it's Destiny 2's been trudging along for a while now. So
yeah, and as much as like I can appreciate like the consistency in like content coming out, like something like the darkness specifically is something they've been building up since the fucking beginning of Destiny 1, however many years ago. And if that was like, if they were the new enemy type in like a just like a like a like an expansion on two, I think would be a fucking
you want something move. More substantial
from I think this. It's a bad personally I think it's a bad move, and I feel like that should be held. Like if they introduce them like physically at the end of like whatever story there is here, fine. If you want to like show them like this is what like physically they're gonna look like, great, fine, I don't care. I do not want to fight them, this fucking all-powerful, like, crazy thing that's been, like, hunting the fucking Traveler for a millennia, like, through space for in a DLC. That's not what I want to do. Something that they've been talking about for fucking, like, 6 years. Like,
I mean, also, too, was it End of Forsaken or was it End of Shadowkeep where you literally, like...
Shadowkeep is when you find the triangle and you, like, go into it and, like...
Spoilers, but, yeah. Like, you run into a version of yourself.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, that's, like, fine. Like, if you want to, like, sprinkle stuff in there, like, yo, like, here's one of those fucking ships, like, up close. Like, go check that shit out. Like, they're doing some wild shit to you. Like, weird, like, mystical space magic. Fine. Fine.
Okay, cool. Fine.
I do not want to fight these fucking things that have been, like, hyped up for... How old is Destiny 1? 5 years old?
The first Destiny is...
Yeah.
No, more than that.
5 or 6?
Come on, Dan. Look it up. Do math.
Is it 13?
Do some work over there.
So 7 years old?
Yeah.
Like, I guess.
I don't know if you guys agree with me, but, like, I don't want this fucking, like, all-powerful enemy that has been chasing us along for 7 fucking years throughout Destiny 1 and 2 and all of its expansions to be a DLC enemy.
I'm torn because, like, for me to get fully engaged back into Destiny, like, I'm going to need a new enemy type would be awesome and would just immediately be like, all right, hook, line, and sinker. I'll be there day fucking one. Let's go, boys. Let's fight whatever the fuck this thing's going to be. And, like, a raid. Like, all, like, the... You hit all the high notes for me. Like, you know, that's what I'm looking for here. But I totally get your point. Like, this enemy type has been so hyped up just in the lore and the universe that just being like, yeah, $30 DLC, small little planet, a couple new locations. You fight, like, a funky enemy type that's just, like, a variation of one of the ones that's existing, and we just call them the darkness. It's really it's not that big of a deal. Like, I get it. That'd be a fucking huge bummer.
If they show them like at the end, like I said, like if like at the like one of the last cutscenes or whatever is like Eris or like you and Eris or you Eris and the Drifter like encountering like what they are physically, fine. Like, I'm perfectly okay with that. Like, if you want to use that to lead into Destiny 3,
yeah. But
fine.
I'm gonna be bummed if like, all right, so here's this new planet and you're just fighting snowy Vex. I'm gonna be like,
you'd have to get like even like Shadowkeep, like it was literally just like Red Hive. The only expansion that they've like put out in I think any of these games in either 1 or 2, the only one that like really 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 introduced a new enemy was Forsaken. They were every expansion they've ever put out has just been a variation of an existing enemy type.
Agreed. It's definitely problematic. So they need to figure that out. So, but I get your point for sure that them, you know, the super hyped up thing being a part of DLC certainly will feel lackluster. So you guys got any off topic while we move on from that?
Yeah, RTJ 4 is
this great.
Incredible. It's fucking incredible. It's so good.
For all the shit that's going on, man, that album is just
it's like an anthem right now.
Yeah, and they released that at a really good time. Was that, like, planned, or was that...
It was supposed to come out on Friday, and then they just dropped it on Tuesday. Like, here you go, everyone.
Yeah, right.
Because everything was going... Yeah, because everything was going on, they pushed it forward.
Yeah. That album, start to finish, just is relentless, very good, every track. Yeah, that's like... I really like all their stuff, but, and I don't know if it's just because everything that's going on and it really speaks to the shit that's happening, but, like, it's very well thought out and start to finish, like, maybe their most complete project that they've done.
Yeah.
And even with the features on it are so good.
Yeah, like, I'm in the same boat as you. Like, I very much like, you know, a vast majority of the stuff they do, but, like, they don't have... I don't think any of the albums that they've put out, I don't think I can listen to from start to finish and be like, that whole fucking thing was incredible. Like, there's songs that I skip almost all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with
fucking,
you on that.
This entire album, I'll just let it go.
Yep,
just
put it on.
Just let it go.
Let it ride.
Yeah, it's fucking Yankee and the Brave 4.
Yeah.
with the fucking dumbass name. I don't care.
It's great. It's
a fucking incredible song. Just incredible.
Yeah, the we talked about it a bit in our Discord. The you know, we don't have to go track by track here, but you know, the Just with Pharrell and De La Roca from Rage Against the Machine, that song very, very good. There's a lot of great songs on it. It's a great album. So if you haven't
also really yet, really don't like 2 Chainz except for his weird HBO things that he does.
Yeah, 2 Chainz is great.
His weird Vice shit. I don't like his music. Let's go that way. I don't like his music, but like Out of Sight,
great.
It's fucking awesome.
So good.
Oh my god. I want to go too crazy.
Yeah, 2 Chainz as a person
is great.
Is a ridiculous person.
Amazing. Just really, really good. While we're on the topic of music, real quick, I'll just throw out a couple other albums that released that I've been listening to. Sideways to New Italy. Rolling Blackouts Coastal Fever is the name of the artist. And that album got released today. Listen, that start to finish, very good. And also, name of the album is Muck. The band, and this is a fucking phenomenal band
like
name.
Like the Pokemon?
Muck? That's a Pokemon?
Yeah, Muck.
Yeah.
No, grow up, Dan.
It's talking spelled M-U-K,
talking about
spelled
music
M-U-K
right now.
Though.
I love you, Dan. I'm just kidding. So let me, I just, why would you call me off like that? I was just like hyping up this name and you're like, Pokemon?
Well, maybe someone now will remember it better because it's the same name as a Pokemon. Mm. What's more known, Muck the Pokemon or Muck the
Muck
band?
Muck is the name of the album. You're not even listening to me.
Sorry. I'm thinking about the Pokemon now.
Artist name, Swamp Meat Family Band.
Yeah.
And the album is called Muck?
Yes.
They're in a swamp.
What are the song names?
Mother's Lies, Be Here to Love Me, If You Want
Super
Me To.
Super normal.
No, very normal.
Yes.
It's very, very normal song titles.
Very disappointing, actually.
It's a good alternative rock album. So far, I've been... Cool. I like it.
Cool.
Yes. Anything else?
The Menzingers put out a altered version of their song America You're Freaking Me Out called America Part 2. That's all about what's going on right now, like literally to the day. It's really good. The song's good and it's also a good message. That's out on their Bandcamp, so if you like the Menzingers or you like alternative rock, then check it out. It's a cool song. I've been listening to this band called Bonsai Trees. They have an album called Learn to Grow that came out last year. It's really good. Just kind of like, you know, indie rock. It's cool. If you like that stuff, just check it out. And I know I talked about this before, just you guys, but if you are a Lord of the Rings fan at all, you should definitely check out Josh Gad's Reunited Apart episode with all the cast from Lord of the Rings, because it was fucking incredible. Even if you're like a mild Lord of the Rings fan, you will get something out of watching that for an hour.
Yeah.
It's an hour long.
It's 51 minutes, but yeah, it's close enough.
That's cool.
Yeah,
it's awesome that they're doing shit like that. Josh Gad was on an episode of New Girl, because my girlfriend loves that shit, and she'll just put it on in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And his like appearance on that show is so fucking ridiculous and very funny. So
I like Josh Gad.
He has a shtick about him that like I'm okay with. Like I don't get like when he's like just doing Josh Gad like wherever he's at.
He's so his character in New Girl is so fucking absurd, Pat. It like is just it works.
I never finished, but that I think it's like Avenue 8 or whatever, that HBO show, the comedy.
I don't think I.
Where like the cruise ship in space.
Oh.
That he's like the CEO of.
I know what you're talking about. I never really got into it.
Yeah, he's fucking ridiculous. He's a fucking cool. Crazy person.
Cool.
I finished Space Force.
How was it?
I watched Netflix. I watched two episodes, man. I did not care.
It was okay. The first episode I thought was pretty strong. Second episode, it just tapered off. Like every episode got like less and less. It became more of like a less of like a Greg Daniels, Steve Carell comedy and more of like a like trying to be a drama kind of, but like a ridiculous situation. Like and it was whatever. Like
We tried watching some of that last weekend and wasn't really feeling it, which is a bummer.
I stuck it out because I very much like John Malkovich and Steve Carell. And,
oh, it has a great cast.
Greg Daniels like is the creator.
Jan from Silicon.
Fucking Jin Yang.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and I just chose very, very whatever.
I will say the motherfucker at the end of the first episode.
So good.
Yo, that got
me. Dude, that because you don't see it coming.
Yeah.
And, like, when was the last time you really, really heard Steve Carell, like, be explicit?
40-year-old Virgin. 40-year-old Virgin. I was going to say Knocked Up. That's not the right movie.
How old was that movie?
I know. You're right.
2007, maybe?
Yeah. So,
we've been like, referencing 2007 a lot.
Yeah, you know, shit happens. Yeah, and, like, just they end the episode with him screaming motherfucker really, really loud. Yeah. It's just really funny to me.
Insane. But, overall,
Lisa Kudrow's in it, too?
Yeah, she, yeah, yep.
It's funny.
The little twist with her was, like, really funny. This is, like, all stuff that happens in the first episode. Like, and, yeah.
Yeah, that whole thing, bizarre.
Never explain it. They never explain it.
No? Are you serious?
I swear to God. She's
I kind of love that.
I don't even, should I even say it? I don't know. It's just really, it's that, just watch the first episode.
Yeah, and then.
That's just, it. It's like,
oh, God. Oh, boy.
Like when he sings in front, like when he just sings in front of the window in his office.
Oh yeah, fuck, what's that song?
I'm fucking drawing a blank too.
Yeah. Either way, whatever.
He's like stressed out, and he just like I guess this is how he relieves his stress. So he just does like a musical number in his office by himself. It's like really funny, but that's like
Kokomo.
That was the only
he sings Kokomo.
There you go.
He's stressed and sings Kokomo and dances, and it's like okay,
yeah.
Like
yeah, and that's like that was the only episode of the entire season that like actually got like a couple of like belly laughs out of me.
So in the first episode, the running joke of his assistant forgetting to tell him that people are in his office.
Yeah,
does that stay throughout the entire series?
Occasionally, it's
God
not like
damn,
as
I,
much. It's,
I thought that was really good.
They do it. Like, there's a couple times where, like, even, like, one of the, like, the second to last episode, like, John Malkovich's character is in his office, and he, like, goes in.
His character was my favorite, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. He was great. But, like, Steve Rowe goes in and sees him, and then, like, I think his name is Brad, comes running in behind him, and he's like, oh, Mallory's in your office. You didn't want me to say anything. He's like, yeah, thanks. Fuck. And he closes
that,
the door on him.
They like, did that, like, six times in the first episode. I was like, man, yeah. This is getting me good. Like,
yeah, like they had a lot of good shit in that first
episode. Second episode, though, man, just totally.
And then it just, I'm telling you, it falls off almost immediately, and then it, like, stays there pretty much throughout.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, it sucked. I was kind of bummed out about it. Especially because that first episode was, like, good.
It was good.
I was, like,
yeah, I got
awesome.
Some good laughs out of it.
It's like,
yeah.
Great.
Definitely.
But yeah, I haven't watched anything else. Brian,
I'm gonna talk about it. There's one. Yeah. I'll get to it because I want to talk about in our Discord, I mentioned that I've been watching Atlanta, and I know Sage and a couple of people have like reached out and said that like that it's very good. So I finally got to the infamous episode 6, Teddy Perkins, And oh my god, that fucking episode of television, guys. Like, that right there, if you're going to watch Atlanta, that's worth it for that one episode. Like, the show is fucking great. It's phenomenal. So well written. So well done. But that fucking episode, I can't get it out of my head. And
what season is it?
Season 2, episode 6. So the name of the episode is called Teddy Perkins. Incredible. So fucking good. Like, just... I can't. Like, I don't want to spoil anything. But, oh, boy. It is just... After the fact, I literally just read up about it, about, like, who played these characters and, like, what they did. And, like, it was just like that, you know, just Donald Glover is just, that dude's so fucking smart and can just do anything. And it's going to be good. That's just like, at this point, it just like that fucking blew me away. And the actor that plays, I'm forgetting his name, but I'm going to look it up really quick because.
What do I watch, Atlanta? What streaming platform is it on?
Hulu.
Lakeith Stanfield. He is so fucking good in Atlanta. He plays Darius.
Yeah, he's good in... I haven't seen anything that he was, like,
He's in Uncut Gems, and he's good in that, too.
Oh, he was fucking great in that.
Yeah, so he's in a ton of stuff. But in this, like, in that episode specifically, like, I always thought, you know, he was really good, but this just fucking blew me away. Same with Donald Glover and that, just the show there, just like that stamp.
Yeah,
like,
I really...
Just like, bap, this is fucking incredible.
Really need to start watching that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that might be my next watch.
Yeah, Atlanta's really good. So I'm just a couple episodes before I finish season 2. And then after the fact, like that episode, you know, that goes right into another really good one. But that one is just definitely up there in terms of just like holy shit. So. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was the cop in Knives Out. That's what I remember him from.
Yeah, he was in. He was the first guy that you see get kidnapped in Get Out.
Yeah, I didn't connect that at first because he looks a lot different without a beard than with just with a beard.
Mm-hmm.
So we also on Hulu started watching Rami, which it's in its second season now, and that is like a dramedy, I guess you would you would call it. But so the first the premise of Rami is it follows a first generation American Muslim who is kind of like just trying to like figure things out. He lives in Jersey. Like gets fired from his job, his parents, like, you know, super entrenched in like the Muslim community and religion. And like, it's super interesting for someone. Like I don't really have like the point of reference to any of that stuff. So, it's really informative on like that aspect of culture. It's very funny. Like the first episode goes to like a very like weird place about like sexuality and that culture. And like, he's going on dates and like this girl like throws him a curveball and it's just like, it's super fucking funny. And, like, I'm already, after that first episode, you know, we watched the second one. Me and my girlfriend thought it was very good, so we'll stick with that. So definitely want to recommend that. He's also Rami Youssef. I hope I pronounced his last name correctly, but he's got a stand-up special on HBO, too, that is very funny. So would definitely recommend that as well. So, Pat, I know you've been waiting patiently for me to talk about it.
My guy.
Pat recommended last week that I watch Parasite the Maxim.
What the fuck is that?
I got that right, Pat?
Is that the anime with the Ys?
Yeah.
Yeah, Pat recommended me watch that, too. I haven't watched it yet.
Fucking so over the top. It's so violent. And it's awesome.
Oh, I can't stop watching it. What's the premise of that, Pat?
So the premise is that... No. Go on, Pat. You'll do a better job than I will.
It's literally like a little alien slug man. Like all across... I don't know if it's like in the entirety of Japan, but like in like this general like neighborhood or like... district.
They say it's across the country at one point.
Okay, so yeah, I don't remember like the small details, but like these like little alien slugs come down and they start burrowing into people's heads and like pretty much taking over as like a parasite.
Okay. Yeah, I know. You made me watch it at your house back when you lived with your parents.
Oh,
we watched, I don't know, like an episode or a part of an episode. You were like, yeah, you gotta check this out.
For context,
that's what
you
was.
Didn't make him watch, Pat didn't make Dan watch it with his parents, but when Pat was living at his parents.
No,
yes,
no.
I was living at my parents'
no,
house.
She, no, he made his parents watch too.
And then I
Mom,
went
Dad,
and I
put it on Parasite.
I grabbed all my siblings
like,
and we had a group.
I was like, Pat, does your family all
viewing.
Really need to be here? He's like, yes. We all watch it together.
No, but yeah. So to finish the quick summary, the main character, I think Shinichi, I don't know what his fucking whole name is. I forget.
Shinichi's fine.
Kind of fucking anime fan of you.
whatever. He's the main character who goes to sleep and he has earbuds in. So this little fucking alien comes down and doesn't make it into his ear. So then tries to go into his nose. Brian, you watch it more recently.
Logical.
Yeah,
the
parasite tries to get in through anywhere in the fucking face region, ear preferable, closest to the brain.
To get into his brain.
As they typically do, yes, okay.
Yes, yeah, because they want to take control of their host. But this little nugget can't get in because boy's got them good headphones in, and then he feels something, wakes up, freaks out, and the thing ends up on his hand, burrows into his arm, and he quickly grabs a belt, ties that shit off.
He tourniquets his arm.
When
so
his
can't
parents
go any
are
further.
Walking in and see him tourniqueted up like he's shooting up, and they immediately freak out, and he is he gets it stuck in his arm, and then just fucking craziness ensues. Just
So basically, anytime that these parasites could take over a host, they create these fucking ridiculous mutations, and they can just kind of do whatever they want.
Yeah, they could morph into anything. They, could just turn into giant tentacles with swords.
A giant mouth with huge fucking teeth that'll just eat your whole body. So Shinichi's is in his hand now, so his hand can do all that shit. And they named him Miggy.
Miggy. So Pat, you didn't watch the dubbed version, right?
No, I watched subbed.
Subbed. So I watched some of the dub the other night because I just wanted to see what it was like. And they refer to Miggy as a he in the original Japanese vocal version.
Mm-hmm.
English dubbed, Miggy is a she and has a woman voice actor. So pretty interesting. But they say he when he refers to Miggy, but is a woman's voice. So interesting.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But, fucking super dark, very mature.
Very dark. It fucking does some shit in the first 5 episodes, just bums you out real good.
Oh, yeah.
But it's doing some cool shit. So, I think I'm almost done with the first season. Would recommend if you're looking for a fucking crazy-ass anime.
Brian, you should watch when you're done with that.
Demon Hunter.
It's on Prime. That was very good too, yes. But Amazon Prime Video, it's called Vinland Saga, and it's a little bit more. It's a little bit more grounded in reality. It's about Vikings and shit. That's also on the mature side of things. It's not
wants us to be anime boys. So Ben,
I mean, I kind of am. I love Akira, and I've seen Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, no, I've seen a good amount of animes too, but Pat likes anime.
Oh no, Pat is he's
right. Anime guy.
Yeah. I'm up on I'm always impressed coming up in the next season.
I'm always impressed because you don't really talk to us about it too often. You don't talk about something really good when you're watching or whatever. But none of us are that into it. Where we'll have any idea what you're talking about. But sometimes you'll go down you'll be talking about it. And I'm oh fuck, I forget how much you follow.
Yeah,
anime.
Bro.
But I know we've had this conversation 1,000 times. There's some animes that I just can't do that are good. I know My Hero Academia I'm trying to think of the anime you recommended I watched. I got pretty a ways through the first season, but it was just too much, just yelling at the fucking screen for no reason.
Attack on Titan.
They have powers, and they all go to a different planet on spaceships.
Oh, Terraformers.
Yes, yeah. You recommend? I watched a bunch of that.
Some weird shit.
And
that was a weird.
Some of it was cool, but it was just some. It just was just happen. Just do the thing. Just do get the power. Do the thing. Don't yell. Don't fucking yell about it for 2 episodes straight. You know. And there's a bunch. I know Demon Hunter is a thing. Something X something has been a thing lately.
Hunter is very
that,
good.
The ones that I joke about all the time, fucking top them, flop them, flip them, flop them.
It's one of my favorite shows, anime shows ever. But that is the quintessential, they're going to yell about things for 2 episodes. But they do it satirically. My drill will pierce us. Just fucking stupid bullshit. Yeah. And the show is great. I love every second of it.
But there's a lot of point being is there are a lot of animes that I know that I would enjoy because the ones that I have watched, I have loved. Fullmetal Alchemist is one of my favorite animes. I watched Samurai Champloo. I watched most of Cowboy Bebop. Like, I've, you know, like it's not like I've never watched anime before. But I don't know. There's just something, you know, like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's just.
But what I don't get more than anything is that, like, I love a JRPG. As cheesy as it could fucking be, as fucking, like, all those, the tropes that, like, people don't like, bring them on. I love them. Like, I can't get enough of it. But, like, you'd think that would transfer over to an anime, well, that wouldn't bother me, but, like, it really does. Like, I saw, like, you know, like, everyone, like just, like, My Hero Academia, like, just, I know that's, like a really well-known thing now, but, like, everybody fucking loves that show. And, like, I legit couldn't get through the first season. Like, I just didn't like it that much.
So, my thing about that show is, like, it does, like, adhere to, like, those tropes that you don't really like at the start.
It gets better.
And then, yeah, as the show goes on, the fights are, like, yeah, they'll, like, kind of, maybe they'll, like, overlap between two episodes, but, like, one, there's, one, like, one specifically, I don't remember what's, I think it's season two or three, I don't remember specifically which one, but he fights a guy that has very similar powers to him, but he starts the fight, like, halfway through one episode, ends the episode with, like, some wild shit that happens, and then starts the next episode, like, immediately after that wild shit happens, and then, like, finishes the fight, like, through the first half of that episode, and then the back half of that episode is, like, you know, him, like, recovering or going wherever the fuck he's going. So, like, at the start, because he's still, like, super early on, like, with his abilities and shit, and he's still trying to figure stuff out, like, yes, like, some of the fucking fights are just like, I gotta power up.
Yeah, and then he's breaking his fucking legs and shit.
Yeah,
and like, he just fucking
breaks every one of his,
like,
breaks all of his fingers.
Yeah,
and, like,
and, yeah, and it's like a fucking 15-minute scene of him just breaking his arms, and then he lands,
so,
and
like,
then goes, you know, like,
yeah, that,
like, fucking,
like, I know you, and, like, if I know you, and if I was, like, give it a second chance, I know you probably won't, but if you did actually stick with it and watch more of it and get further in, you would absolutely like it.
Fair enough. I know that. I'm not going to disagree with you. I probably would like it. It's just, I don't know. Like, that's, like, I was really conflicted with, what's the one that everyone fucking, with the giant meat men?
Attack on Titan.
Thank you.
Oh, Attack on Titan.
Like, everyone fucking jerked that shit off, and I watched the first season, and I watched all the way through, but there was so much of that in that, too, and I'm just like, just turn it into the giant and fight the other giant. Don't yell at
me. That is another show that the second and third seasons are fucking incredible.
Oh, is that a thing? Okay, so the second, because I would watch the second season, because I watched the first season. That, it doesn't do that shit in the second season? Or it's better about it?
It's better about it. It's, like, infinitely better about it. Like, cause
you will agree with me, the first season is a ton of that shit.
Yeah, yeah, it's just them, like, fucking zipping around the city and, like, everybody dying, and then, like, he doesn't turn into the big
man. Yeah, but you want him to so bad, because it's somebody, you know, you're like, just do it, just turn it, just do it, just don't have an issue, just fucking do the big guy.
He starts, like, learning how to control it and, like, doing it, and, like, start doing it on his own, so, like, he's, like, when they need him to do it, that's when he does, instead of just going
fucking it up every single time, so,
like, yeah. Yeah, like, as a, like, they'll try to take on something as a squad, and, like, work their plan around him doing it, so, like, they'll, like, figure some shit out, they'll, like, go off and, like, try to, like, take down, like, whatever Titan they're gonna take down, and then, like, they'll use him as a distraction, like, yo, transform, he'll transform, and they'll start fucking duking it out, and then, like, the rest of the squad is, like, zipping around trying to, like,
yeah, that sounds cool. I might actually check that out. How many seasons are there out that's dubbed?
I want to say all three are dubbed, probably.
And grow up.
No, fuck you. No, I'm not. I can't. I put my foot down. I can't do subbed. I'm watching the Sword of Five anime subbed because I know the choice. But if I have a choice, I'm gonna wait.
I would assume. I don't know for a fact they're all dubbed. I would assume they're dubbed.
Also, with Persona 5, it's kind of weird. I was gonna mention this actually. Watching the anime. I am watching the anime. I guess I should throw that out there. Voice actors are different. So, like, when Ryuji talks and he's not Ryuji, it's like, I get, like, I'm watching, it's subbed, but...
Oh, well, you're dropping the Japanese, you're watching the Japanese.
Yeah, you know.
So it's, yeah.
And, like, you know, and, like, it's, like, it's a little jarring. Like, it's kind of weird, because, like, no one sounds the
I
way
played,
they should.
I played that entire game up until the end of Futaba's Palace in Japanese. Heck. And then you're literally reading all of it. You read all of it. So what difference does it make? So I played all the way up to the end of Futaba's Palace in Japanese. And then there's a part when she's, like, in her fucking thing, tapping away, and she's just saying words, and there's no subtitles. And I was like, I have no fucking idea what she just said. I have to change it to English. I was like, I don't know anything. Nothing. I got nothing out of that. Like, so, like, immediately after that,
the American voice actors did a really good job.
Yeah, they did.
None of it is awkward or weird.
The only one that like I was like kind of meh about was Haru. Like Haru kind of
sounded
forced.
She sounds like a fucking
very robotic. But like
also like it sounds like they just like took a voice and squeaked it up to fucking 10. She's like, let's get do better, guys. Like,
So, but yeah, y'all, if y'all want them fucking wrecks, bro, I got you.
Okay, I want you to give. Okay, Pat, legitimate recommendation. Give me your top three anime that you think I should watch that you think I would legitimately like.
Vinland Saga.
No. We got to do it later because I gotta write it down. Thank you. I'll give you a second. I'll give you a second.
This is a good segue.
All time. Not just recent. All time.
Oh, all time favorite.
Okay. Yeah. But also take consideration that take into consideration like you know I know like Trigun is, but like that is dated. Like you know what I mean? Like or something.
Yeah.
Like
Pat's just gonna put Cowboy Bebop in there because he.
I'm not gonna put it on stuff that you've watched.
I need to finish Cowboy Bebop. I've watched like half the season and I don't
that's
know why
a shame. That's
incredible.
I have like that collector's edition that I bought that we
I just bought a long sleeve shirt and a t-shirt from a website that was all Cowboy Bebop.
See you, Space Cowboy.
Yeah, bro. See us. We're
not done yet.
You know what that shit is right there?
That's it. That's the boy.
That's a red ship with a line. What is it?
Yeah. That's fucking spicy.
I know. I'll be the dick. I know what it is.
Okay. So, good segue for a Discord. If you want to talk to Pat more about anime and get his recs like Dan does,
get them recommends.
Post that in Weebville.
Let me. Sure.
I'm helping you out. Post it in Weebville. You know what you were going to say?
That wasn't like a light pat on the back. That was like a brute force, like.
Post it in Weebville.
OKGamers.com will link you to an invite to our Discord. You could talk to us about anything, not just Pat and anime. Only Pat and anime. OKGamers.com links you an invite. If not, you can reach out to any of us on Twitter. Me at Zinzer Brian, Dan at Dianones, Pat at PC Mirth. Anything else, guys? Are we done?
That's it.
All right.
We went on a very long tangent about anime.
We did, but Pat is happy, so that's all that matters.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Enjoy the remainder of your lives.
Thank you
for
listening. Bye. I'm going to go to the next one.